May grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to us from God our Father through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Never fear, I brought in a vast quantity of cough drops this morning. For this concluding Sunday in the church calendar year, and with this backdrop of Thanksgiving, the gospel text for Thanksgiving, actually, I will use rather than the last Sunday of the year, found in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 17. It's the story of the 10 lepers, the 10 men who have had leprosy. From Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11 through verse 19, the following I would read in the name of the Lord. And as it came to pass, as he was coming to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men which were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet and gave him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the other 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this one stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. So, you know, perhaps these lepers were living together. Perhaps they had individually or lived individually and had heard of the Lord and what was available in healing through His hand and through simply His word. And so they met in this village on the borders of the border of Samaria and Galilee, because this is talked about in the terms of this first verse, that they were in Samaria, in the midst of Samaria and Galilee, the region between, as other translation called it. Perhaps they met in order to appeal to the Lord, thinking to move Him by their aggregate wretchedness, as one commentary termed it. And they were united in the fellowship of common misery. We don't know what that's like today. We can't relate to this whole issue of leprosy, as it's been pretty much eradicated by modern medicine, although there is some of it reoccurring in some of the poorer nations across the world. But he was going to Jerusalem, passing through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and entered into a certain village. The Lord had foresight and understanding of what he was going to encounter that day, perhaps encounter, as we know, he talks about his journey to the cross. And so, as he entered that village, he probably knew there would be 10 men who were plagued with leprosy that had to stand afar off, because others that would contact it potentially could come down with leprosy themselves. Leper colonies were quite common, even into the 19th century, where they were separated from the general population and had to deal with the reality of their disease. And so they stood afar off in requirement of the Old Testament obligation to do so. Matter of cleanness. It was an effort to speak, as oftentimes hoarseness accompanied leprosy. And so perhaps the aggregate of the 10 of them crying would have enough volume to where the Lord would hear. And so the cry indicated some knowledge of the Lord's authority and of the Lord's power. They knew the Lord's name, For he is addressed, as we see in verse 13, as Jesus and as Master. What do they ask? Have mercy on us. There was no demand for healing, although inferred in this term of mercy, there is this expectation, perhaps, of healing, because they had seen what the Lord was able to do in the healing of others. And so they knew he had power to heal, and they hoped that he had mercy, that they would win for themselves healing by this entreatment. There also was in the trust of the cry recognition of desperate need. The consciousness of their necessity for healing. How many of us, if we're ill today, don't go to the doctors? Or do something in seeking the healing of whatever is our problem or our illness? But in their minds, as we know by the total story here, he was nothing to them but a healer. Or to 9 of the 10, he was nothing more than a healer. And still in their notions, they did present a point of contact asking Christ for mercy. Jesus must have gone close enough to see them and to have interaction with them. Was it, beyond 3 feet? Was it 10 feet? Was it 20 feet? Whatever was the distance that he interacted with them and talked to them. For it was when he saw them, in verse 14, he said to them, go show yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus' commands always in the New Testament recognized and honored the law. But the main purpose here was also to test, and thereby hopefully to strengthen the leper's trust in him. To set out to the priests when they felt themselves full of leprosy would have seemed absurd, unless they believed that Jesus could and would heal them. He gave no promise to heal, but asked for reliance on this implied promise. Doesn't elude sympathy, does it? Tender compassion is often covered up. He asked them to do something. They were to follow through on that command. Don't we too sometimes act on the assumption that Jesus will grant our desires? A quid pro quo, if I do the following will transpire. It's only human thinking that does that to us, where if we do the following result. There's no implied promise. The Lord said he'll be with us through whatever life transpires, through whatever life brings in our path. No promise for healing. Go to the medical practice we can get today. And sometimes the result is positive, and sometimes the result isn't positive. But we note the healing is granted to their obedient faith in his command. The whole 10 set off at once. And on the way, there must have been this gradual creeping of soundness into their physical being. In fact, all 10 got what they wanted originally from the Lord and had, in the case of the 9, nor thought about him. Confidently they stepped out. They were being healed as the soundness occurred. We don't have anything detailing that. But the cure is a transcendent, though veiled, manifestation of Christ's power, as one commentary put it. It is wrought at a distance. He didn't put his hand on them, did he? He simply, through his word, commanded them to go and they would be healed. The silent forth putting of his power, of his authority. He spoke and it was done. He said and it was accomplished. But he willed and it was done. It is even more powerful, isn't it? So now we note, as they went to show themselves to the priests, and it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed, but one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with loud voice glorified God. A solitary example or instance of thanksgiving in this event. Nine went on their merry way, physically healed, missing out on the bigger part. Wonder if something crossed the mind of at least a couple others within the nine that, wait a minute, he's going back. When he saw, and with a loud voice he glorified God. Now he has a loud voice, no longer hoarse from leprosy, no longer ill, healed. You know, Martin Luther was once asked to describe the nature of true worship. You know, that's a topic within Christian circles today. What is worship? What does it entail? Does it entail singing? Does it entail study? Does it entail preaching and speaking the word? Does it entail helping others? Luther's simple answer is the tenth leper turned back. That's quite thought-provoking, isn't it? Turn back and with a voice glorifying God. You know, there's a great deal of tension between the Jews and the Samaritans. There was a region between where there was a mix between the Jews that were in Jerusalem, the Samaritans in Samaria, and then you have this gray area between, there's a mixed multitude of people. These men, or this one who turned back, was a Samaritan. Maybe the other nine were Samaritans. Maybe they were Jews. We don't know. Maybe they were neither. Maybe they're Gentiles. See, Luke uses this example of the Samaritan quite effectively in many of the things that he wrote. In the Gospels, we read of the Samaritan woman in the Gospel of John, who was at the well when Jesus asked her to draw out water that he would be able to drink. The Good Samaritan ministered to the person on the road that was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, from the presence of God's people to the presence of the world. The Samaritan augurs in this, or brings into us the focus for the need to be understanding of others rather than understanding of our own kind. And so he turned back with loud voice, glorified God, and he fell at his feet and gave him thanks. Well, the other nine might have said, we are doing what the healer asked us to do. To go back to him would be disobedient. But a grateful heart, a thankful heart, knows that express gratitude is the highest duty and is necessary for its own relief. Do we hurry away clutching our blessings and what we receive and never cast a thought back to the giver? What's important to say when somebody gives us something? Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for what you gave. I appreciate that. And so with a loud voice, as one turns back, you know, he had to thank the giver of the gift of healing. And now he falls at his feet. Thankfulness knits us to Jesus with a blessed bond. Thankfulness for salvation. Thankfulness for the Spirit. Thankfulness for the Word, the Gospel. Thankfulness for the church of which we are but a part. Nothing is so sweet to the heart of God as the church, as believers, being thankful to Him. Now also we learn the lesson of the virtue of not being prejudiced, of being biased, of not recognizing there are people that are different than we are. This man is a Samaritan. Luke doesn't elucidate that, you know, the other nine were three Samaritans and four that were Jewish and two that were Gentile. Doesn't matter. What matters is the one that turned back. Courtesy and gratitude, appreciation of higher things, because the one that turned back received a greater blessing, a greater gift. Touched by the story of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, when the word reaches out through serving in missionary fields, through indigenous pastors, you listen to the music, as you watch the appreciative attitude, we realize how thankful many are for their salvation as the first and foremost thing that they receive. And touched by the story of his sacrifice, maybe more than those like us who have heard of him all the days of our lives. That's really quite thought-provoking this morning. To me, the appreciative nature of those who have come to know faith and salvation through Jesus Christ and through the gospel, for the first time being removed from sin and darkness into salvation and his marvelous light. What greater gift is there? What greater reason for gratitude and thanksgiving? This one man saw. So part of this is being able to see. How about that this morning? It's the seeing thing. Thought about Luther's statement about true worship is the example of the one leper who turned back to say thank you. But seeing in two different ways. Everyone here is blessed with sight. We're able to see each other. Able to see things in life. And when we see something that moves us, oftentimes it touches our heart in a natural way. But sometimes we have been given spiritual insight. We're able to see in ways that aren't physical. And to appreciate that insight that we have in the spiritual rather than simply in the natural or the carnal. Because he saw what was happening to him, he interrupted his journey to the priest and turned back to the Lord, and with loud voice glorified him. Notice Luke uses this word, loud voice. Adjective, loud voice. That described how much he was expressing his thankfulness for what he had received. Fell down on his face at his feet and gave him thanks. Acknowledgement of the giver of the gift. Now the Lord knew where the other nine were heading. But he asked the question anyway. Moment of consideration for his disciples. Moment of thought for the one who had turned back, who had received the healing. Or one of the ten that had received the healing. He said, were there none found that returned to glory to God, save this stranger? Where are the others? Ever think about the number of the thankless far surpass those who are thankful? That's something to consider. And I think the fewness of the latter even sadden the Lord today. My people do not consider is a term from Scripture regarding the people of Israel and how they don't consider the gift of salvation unto their nation. Being thankful for gifts. Being thankful, as we reflected 2 days ago, the blessings we have as families, as individuals, the goodness of His hand in providing for us, the health we have, the families we have, the celebrations we have together. We impoverish ourselves when we dishonor Him by ingratitude. Sermon of many years ago that I've thought of every Thanksgiving was titled The Attitude of Gratitude. You know, some of us can see no blue in our sky if only one cloud is there. We have earthly and spiritual blessings. We all are all sinners by unthankfulness, and we all lose by engaging that. We all lose by being unthankful. And so here this last week, as we've celebrated as a nation, Canada celebrates it at a different time, but it's really is to step back and assess, to appreciate one another, to appreciate our salvation, to appreciate the guidance of the Spirit, to appreciate all these good things we have in life that we receive by His hand. And so what is happening is Jesus is rejoicing over this stranger. The Lord doesn't, well, the Lord probably knew his name, but doesn't name him, because this is an example that we all can take of how we are to turn back and to be thankful. When someone comes to faith and hears the gospel and knows their sin forgiven, what's the first attribute that they express? Thankfulness, appreciation, honor to God, recognition of Jesus Christ's gift to them. The big thankful with a capital T, earthly blessing small t. Jesus rejoices over this stranger and gives him a greater gift than he had received when leprosy was cleared from his flesh. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the other 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. This one was still going to go to the priest and to show himself, but in the interim, he wanted to turn back and express his gratitude for the healing that he had received. King James is very accurate, thy faith hath made thee whole. Revised Version says, has saved thee. But Jesus, the Christ, raises him up, and sends him away, but now with the attribute of faith. The other 9 simply had received the physical healing. As we know, oftentimes the example in Scripture are given where people don't appreciate the bigger picture or don't understand there's a bigger picture the Lord is offering. Today, if the Lord was present and was to heal, would all those that receive that give thanks to Him? Or some simply wheel around and go back out with what they received, missing the bigger gift? You see, next Sunday we start the focus of Advent on the bigger gift. Christmas time often we look forward to presents, especially the children. anticipation of the gifts we will receive from our parents, grandparents, from aunts, uncles, from others. And there are little gifts, and then there are bigger gifts. I can remember we always got one bigger gift at Christmas, anticipating what that one bigger gift might happen to be. A natural thing, a toy, or something we had been asking for over the course of the year. But you know, the more fatal leprosy of sin had melted out of this man's spirit. And that faith which had begun as a confidence in that Jesus could heal had now increased to the point where he places his faith in Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. And his tongue had been loosened to express thanksgiving. And now he clung to him in grateful love. A stranger with salvation. It wasn't a Jew, it wasn't a Gentile, it was a Samaritan. Somebody caught in the mid-region spiritually. You know, you think about mid-region, someplace where there's a mix. Well, there were people that were in this mix between Jerusalem and Samaria. This one who was a stranger came back with salvation that healed his spirit and was perfected in that. Now, the reality is that one day his body would be left behind, crumble into dust. Dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt return. That tells in the scripture nobody's escaped that reality. Some live longer, some live shorter. Some are called away at a young age, some are called away at an old age. The nine that were healed, that went on to the priest and went on to the rest of their lives, would one day pass, even as this one who turned back to the Lord. But the one that turned back to the Lord was healed in spirit. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Not in the natural way. The natural way occurred a few verses earlier, didn't it? You've been healed. Go show yourself to the priest. He turns back, and now he has received the greater gift, the bigger gift. A lot of times at Christmas, I like to think about how, you know, you get a whole bunch of little gifts, and then all of a sudden the bigger gift comes out. Or it's there on Christmas morning, or however families choose to celebrate that in their own traditions. This is a very important tradition here. Very important focus of the church is that the greater gift would be offered each and every time the church gathers together, or the opportunity presents itself in our lives to offer that greater gift. The Lord offers it today. We as a church offer it today. We as a church are empowered by it today. The gospel message is among us. It is in our mouths, in our hearts. The stranger saw what was happening. The Samaritan saw what was happening. Turned about. Went back to the Lord and glorified him in a loud voice, expressing his appreciation at his healing. And as a result, receive the greater gift. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we depart, may we remember that we are to be thankful rather than thankless. May we be selfless rather than selfish. May we understand that life is one where we journey in a caravan of faith as a church, but one day shall transition, even as we know it shall end. The stranger received, as we know, healing of both physical healing and healing of spirit and of soul. And once this body is left behind, we shall too depart, but because we have received salvation Because we have received faith, because we are empowered by the Spirit, we shall transition to your presence as you have promised. Teach us to be a thankful people, to count our blessings, to give thanks unto you for all that you provide, and to know your presence in our journey of faith as we conclude this church year, knowing that the season of Advent inaugurates time for us to look forward to the events of Christmas when Jesus Christ was sent to be that perfect salvation, to be that perfect sacrifice, that we might be a saved people. Now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.